Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Radical Wisdom Conference. This is a 5-day expansive exploration of ancient, indigenous, earth-based, and star-inspired wisdom that has been overlooked by mainstream society, yet that is absolutely vital for humanity to learn together as we break down the old systems and structures that are no longer working and build our radical new world in alignment with light, life, peace, and joy. I am Jocelyn Starfeather. I'm the founder of Sacred Planet and your host for the Radical Wisdom Conference. And today I am absolutely delighted to be here with my dear friend, Tarya Ward. Welcome, Tarya. Thank you so much for being a part of this event.
Oh, thank you for the invitation, Jocelyn. It's always an honor to be with your massively beautiful events. So, thank you.
Oh, thank you. And it is always such an honor and a pleasure to speak with you and to work with you, as we have done so many times over the years. So I am really looking forward to this conversation. So let's dive in. I will go ahead and share your bio. I know so many people in our community know you already, but for any who may not be familiar with your work, Tarya Ward, PhD, lives in Asheville, North Carolina, where she has a private practice offering dream analysis, psychological, and spiritual guidance to clients from all parts of the world. Tarya has worked intensively with her own and other people's dreams for more than 50 years, and for nearly 30 years has been an avid student of Indigenous ways of knowing and being. In addition to her one-on-one sessions with clients, Tarya also conducts a monthly global community dream symposium, wherein persons from all over the world come to share their dreams and listen to the collective dreaming mind, conducts small private dream groups, and she teaches to a wide audience in regular lectures and interviews. Tarya also offers private oracular readings upon request. And for everybody listening, I highly recommend that you go to Tarya's website, which will be linked below, and really check out her website and sign up for a session with her. A one-on-one session is what I recommend, because any dreams that you've had recently, or if you get an oracular reading, she is just incredible. Tarya, you have helped me so many times over the years to figure out what in the world is going on in my life and how to understand and interpret my dreams or my, situations that are happening. So thank you for all the wisdom that you bring, and everybody, I really recommend having a session with Tarya.
Thank you, Jocelyn. And it's the wisdom of the dream and the wisdom of the oracle that I just am so happy to be a translator for. So,
Yes, yes, yes.
yeah.
Well, I love your topic for today. That's called Be the Rainmaker. I can't wait to learn more about what you mean by this, be the rainmaker. So let's start there. Could you tell us about what you mean by this topic?
Yes. This topic about the rainmaker, for those who study Jung, I got my doctorate in Jungian psychology. So there are a lot of those probably that know this story because it was very profoundly important to Dr. Jung. He loved this story. So, and I love it too. And so I just feel like it's an important story for all of us, and you'll see why as we go. But this is an actual story. It sounds like a myth when I'm reading it, but it's not. It's an actual story. He had a friend named Richard Wilhelm, who was a scholar and a theologian, and Richard had lived in China for 25 years. And so Richard tells this story of, what he experienced, something he experienced when he was in China. And so I'm just going to read the account because it reads really nicely. There was a great drought where Richard lived for months. There had been a drought for months. There had not been a drop of rain, and the situation had become catastrophic. The Catholics made processions, the Protestants made prayers, the Chinese burned joss sticks and shot off guns to frighten away the demons of the drought, but nothing was working. Finally, the Chinese said, "We will fetch the rainmaker." And from another province, a dried-up old man appeared. The only thing he asked for was a quiet little house somewhere, and there he locked himself in for 3 days. On the fourth day, the clouds gathered, and there was a great snowstorm at the time of the year when no snow was expected, an unusual amount, and the town was so full of rumors about the wonderful rainmaker that Wilhelm went to ask the man, how did he do this? In true European fashion, Wilhelm said, "They call you the rainmaker. Will you tell me how you made the snow?" And the rainmaker said, "I did not make the snow. I am not responsible." "But what have you done these 3 days?" "Oh, I can explain that. I came from another country where things are in order. Here they are out of order. They are not as they should be by the ordinance of heaven. Therefore, the whole country is not in Tao. And I also am not in the natural order of things because I am in a disordered country. So I had to wait 3 days until I was back in Tao, and then naturally the rain came." And so Jung loved this story. He was so taken with it. Certainly it's remarkable that just one person coming in and seeing the really the underlying problem here, the whole country was out of Tao. And so one person coming in and being disordered because of being in a place that was out of Tao got himself back, went into a quiet, silent place where he could get himself in Tao. And then when that happened, everything came into Tao and the rain came. And so I think for any of us to know, oh my gosh, these are powers that, this rainmaker had, but that, I think are evidently apparent. And I think that's what Jung was so fascinated by, and what I'm sure you and I are fascinated by, and all of us, that this is a power that's a human power, to get into Tao when things are disordered, and then something else completely can happen. And so the question would be, like, what does it take to get into Tao? And for my sense is this to go that to that place of deep silence. I think everybody will find their own sort of sense. Once you hear this story, like, where is the Tao in me? For me, it's right here in the middle of right under my chest bone. That's where it is in my body, and I go to this place of the quiet to get into Tao, and then from there can like get into this place of feeling like I can affect the field of consciousness. And I thought I'd tell this little story. I just happened to, like, 3 or 4 nights ago, watch this film called Thunderheart. It's one of my favorite films of all time. It was back in 1992. And it's a story, Val Kilmer plays the lead role, and it's a story of this young sort of hotshot FBI guy who goes to an Indian reservation where a murder has taken place. And they send him in because one of his great, great, great ancestors was Cherokee, and so they decided that he could go into the Indian reservation, and he was like, okay, all right, I'll be the Cherokee, FBI guy. And so he goes in, and he keeps, as he's go as the story is told, it's really a beautifully told story. He keeps having these jolts of awakening where all of a sudden he's just g going from his hotshot FBI, fully competent, in his daytime job, completely being jolted by this underlying reality, this underlying awareness. And I felt like I was so happy because I was kind of considering what I wanted to talk about here. And I thought, here's the story of this guy just coming into Tao. And I think it's a good demonstration and illustration of what can happen once we put ourselves in the way of it. Like, he went into a place that was more in Tao than any place that he'd ever lived. And all of a sudden it was happening to him. And so I think it's about awakening that dimension in our own selves and going through the process of illuminating.
Wow, this is so powerful. I went on an interesting roller coaster of emotion as I was listening to this, because at first what came through was, wow, our entire world, is so out of order. But then the going up on the roller coaster again was the realization that there are so many of us awakening our consciousness, wanting to choose a new way at this time. And in this story, it just there's just one person that it takes to affect that change. And so as more and more and more of us, as you know, one person here and one person there and all around the world, how exciting that we, you know, are seeing this confirmation of our own power to shift things. That's what I'm
Yes, exactly. Exactly, Jocelyn. And, I have more to say about all this, but I think some say, and I tend to sense it so, and I think you do too, that it only takes like 1% of the world's population, just like the tiniest portion of us, to get into this place of consciousness. Like connection to the Tao, to that inner quiet, that inner harmony, that inner love. It only takes the smallest number of us to shift everything. And I have more stories to tell about that too. I mean, it's just I think I love it, that because we are in a very disordered world right now, clearly. The climate crisis, the political crises, the wars, the suffering. The unconsciousness that is rampantly, in power, that I think we can totally shift this. And that's why we need to know that we can
Right.
and consider, these kind of amazing stories.
Right. Yeah. So could you say more about why Jung was so inspired by this
Yeah, good
and why
question.
we should be inspired by it?
Right. Yeah, thank you. Good question. I think one of Jung's primary sort of breakthroughs in the world of psychology was his awakening of his awareness of the collective unconscious, where in a Freudian approach to the dream, you're really working with your personal unconscious and subconscious and going down your ancestral line and working somewhat with the cultural scene that you're in. And how it affects your dreams. But Jung had this understanding of the deep collective unconscious. And I think that that's why it's such sort of a breakthrough theory for him. And I think that's how he, a story like this came to expand in his sense of the truth of it, the possibility of what we can do collectively and what that collective unconscious is about. And that we're just, like the new physics are coming into it now. It's like we hear about it, and there are really beautiful physicists that we can listen to who will describe that the field is conscious and that we're part of the field, and that's how they, it's the quantum field that it is so interesting to learn about, that's part of all this. Jung, I think, for the first time, and this is part of his break with some of the other psychologists, that they thought devolved into this idea of the whole field of consciousness instead of staying with the personal history, and they felt that that was so important. So I feel like that's his breakthrough, and that's why I really appreciate him. And I wanted to tell this little story. My dreams are always such teachers for me. This dream happened last week where I was going to sleep. And just as I was dropped into that really deep, dark place where there's no light or images, that just deep into sleep, I saw this image. Actually, it was these words that came that said, "A star is born." And then I saw this image of a star, and it was like a cross kind of image, and the tail of the star was really long. I don't know about that detail of the dream, but I just want to tell it because there it was. And it was this bright light, and it was this long-tailed star. And I thought, that's so interesting. I reached over and just kind of jotted it down, "A star is born," and then went off into my night's sleep. And it felt like an epic night's sleep. It felt like there was a lot going on, and it felt really epic. but I couldn't bring it back when I woke up in the morning. And so that was it. I wrote in my dream journal, "A star is born." What in the world, is that about? I don't know. I know stars get born and die all the time. So what should we know about this? And then I went back to sleep. I had a little nap a little later. And just as I went in, it came to me, sort of in that liminal place, that "A star is born" is about, maybe it's referring to an insight, a new idea. And I remembered what David Bohm says, that when you get an insight, it is like an active substance that actually goes into your brain and changes the structure of your brain. So he says it's something that comes from the implicate order that arrives in the explicate order. So the implicate order being sort of the Tao, I think, the ground of being, and then it arrives into our conscious waking, and it actually changes the subject, the substance of the brain. And then that's what I felt my dream was telling me. This insight is like a star being born, and a star has like a gravitational field. And so as soon as we get these insights, the gravitational field goes out from there, and things can happen differently. So when we allow ourselves to be awakened, to have these insights and not press them back down because they might threaten our structure, our family structure, our city structure, our national structure, whatever, we tend to suppress them because they're so threatening to the structure and the order of how we've been trained. But when we let those insights come in, they produce their own gravitational field, and then they can change the whole field of consciousness. And I often say to my clients, these conversations that we are having now are changing everything in the whole field of consciousness. I just know it. I feel it. I believe it. I know you and Jocelyn, you and I have had these conversations where we remarked on the same thing. We just know that the insights, the inspirations are like going out in the explicate order to affect reality. And that's the rainmaker business, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This comes back to the theme of the conference here, where we're saying, these are the themes that in the things that in mainstream nobody wants to talk about, but that are absolutely essential to our understanding of reality as we create the world that we really want. Right. I love that our that like this conversation, everybody listening to this conversation, it's bringing in new ideas. These conversations we're having in the conference, and it really does change everything, because our beliefs, our thoughts, our perception shift and change how we see the world, but also how we behave in the world,
Exactly.
and how our
Right.
energy ripples out, and then how we influence others or might inspire others, or right, it goes out from us. So I love that you're bringing that in.
Right. And I think it's observable. I think if we start to notice it, it becomes so noticeable. So it proves itself. And I think that's what Jung's whole, I think this was an awakening to his whole theories. A lot of his theories, it just began to prove itself to him. And the more we observe it. And I love what you're doing because it's like creating these insights that then change the structure of our brains, and then change the field of consciousness that we all inhabit. And then sort of create that, increasing 1%, of us that are trying to do this work of the rainmaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we're way more than 1% by now.
Oh,
Right?
I hope you're right. Right.
I really
Right.
believe that.
I hope
Way
so.
more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know that you said you had some stories of rainmakers, so I would love to
Yeah.
hear some stories.
Yeah. Well, if I'm going to talk on this, I should tell a couple of literal stories that I have. So one of them is mine, and one of them belonged to is a story that Greg Braden tells. I just love him. He wrote a book called The Lost Mode of Prayer, and it's all about the Gospel of St. Thomas. And Greg Braden is such an amazing thinker, scientist. He's just an amazing guy. So anyway, he tells a story. It's an actual story, like mine is, like Jung's was about the rainmaker. So It's kind of good to hear the ones that are happening in the 3D world and how it's affecting things. So, he said in the early 90s, during a time of severe drought in the American Southwest, he accompanied his native friend and teacher, David, who was a Pueblo elder, to a high desert area in New Mexico. And Braden expected him, they were going to do a rain dance and call in the rain because of the drought. And he thought they would do a dance and a ritual and ask for rain and that everybody would participate. And that's kind of what he was expecting. He said, but David didn't do that. Instead, he stood quietly in a small circle of stones that marked a sacred spot. He took off his shoes, closed his eyes, brought the palms of his hands together, and stayed still for a few moments. When he was finished, he simply said, I felt the rain. Later, Braden asked what had happened, since it looked like nothing had occurred. David explained, and I think this is an important, you talk about this too, Jocelyn. It'll be very familiar to you. But it's so important for us to remember. He said, if I prayed for rain, it would never happen because the very act of asking for rain acknowledges that it's not here. So you're in the not here-ness of the rain when you do that. He said, instead, I felt the rain. I smelled the rain on the earth. I felt my bare feet in the mud. I felt what it feels like when the crops are soaked and tall with rain. I gave thanks at the rain that had already happened. And within hours of the ceremony, the long drought broke and the rains came. And Braden often uses this story to illustrate the power of prayer and how he acknowledges that we should say it as if it's already happened. And I know you teach this a lot, Jocelyn. You know this one. It's already happened. It's already here, and you just step into the frequency of the already here-ness of it. And I feel like for us who are trying to help the world enter a place of harmony, of mutual respect, of love, of peace, of no more war, whatever it is, if we step into that place where it's already there, it's already in the Tao, we're in the Tao with that. That place of peace exists. And we're in it now, and we're vibrating to that. Our frequencies are vibrating to that. Our complete sort of body, mind, spirit is aligned with that. Then it can come and will come and cannot not come.
Right.
So we just energize it by doing that. Okay, and so here's my story. I went to, again, this is in the Southwest, this is in New Mexico. There was a couple, Barry and Renata Williams and their son Rafe, that they studied with the Huichol in central Mexico, and I studied with them. And so I was very connected with the teachings of the Huichol and the ceremonies and all of that through them. Their son Rafe died at age 21, and he lived longer than they expected. He had these compromising conditions, which seemed to have purpose and meaning too in his own shamanic work. But so Rafe died. And so we all came, many of us who had known them for years and studied with them for years came, gathered to join the ceremony, the celebration of life, of Rafe's life, and to hold Barry and Renata in their grief of losing him. And when we got there, Barry said, that they used to have sweat lodges and teepees and fires in the teepee and so forth. They were having none of that. Not lighting a single fire because the drought was so intense. He said, if you throw a match on the ground, you could light up 500 acres right here because it was just that dry. So he said, if you smoke, do not, stand next to the water and put your cigarette out in the water or put your match out in the water. He said, no sparks anywhere outside. They were just very nervous about, the whole of New Mexico was the whole, it was in Taos area. It was very, very, very alarming because if the fire started, there was no stopping it. And so we were there under this big tent and we started the ceremony of Rafe and we just began our sort of prayers and, telling our little stories. We each had our own stories of rave stories. We just had begun. We were maybe 20, 30 minutes into it. The skies opened up. It rained so hard. None of us could believe it. None of us could believe it. People there were so ecstatic. They went outside, took off their clothes, praised the rain. It was the most remarkable thing I'd ever seen. It was just remarkable. So, I mean, and so that was, this is this a shamanic culture, coming together with all of this love and heart. And I think the field that we were creating, the rains came. So I
Wow.
have that very personal story to tell about rainmaking.
I have like complete chills.
That beautiful?
That is incredible.
Oh, it was just amazing. Yeah, it was just amazing. Eventually, we got back and finished the ceremony and told our stories, but we were sitting under a tent. We were under the tent to keep the sun off of us, not to keep the rain off of us, but we were under the tent with the rain just falling. It was such a celebration, and the whole whole towns nearby, everybody was just ecstatic.
Oh my gosh,
And the
that's
timing was
incredible.
just, undeniable.
And you know, this whole concept is just so important for us because we're told in this modern world that we have absolutely nothing to do with the weather. We
Right.
just look on our phone and it says what it's going to do, you know. Like we're completely disconnected from that as far as we're taught and indoctrinated into, I will say. But actually, truth is, from these stories you're telling, right, it's clear that we are deeply interconnected with what the weather is doing, with what the sun, how the sun comes through, how the rain comes through, how the clouds move, how the earth shifts, you know, everything. We are one with that, and we are deeply connected with that. And this is the truth that we're remembering now. And these stories are just such beautiful, powerful illustrations of that in real life to help us believe, to help us really trust. And then when we come back into our power around this, there's no limit.
I really, 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 really know that that's true. And our country, every night on the news, you'll hear about fires and tornadoes. And I mean, we're just being assaulted right now in this country. The heats, the colds, it's extreme. And it's like that we're out of Tao. We're like that village that Wilhelm, was in, where everything was out of Tao. It was catastrophic, it was so disordered. And the whole country's out of Tao. So the weather systems are revolting. They're having the we're out of Tao with it. So they're behaving in these ways, presumably to wake us up or whatever you want to call it. But I think it's showing us that we're just completely out of Tao, and we've got to get back in Tao.
And I would say it's an invitation.
Absolutely.
Come back.
Yeah, right. For
Into the
each of us,
winter.
every day, all day, every day, start the day just seeing if you're in doubt or not, and what can you do to bring yourself into doubt.
Well, yes, so that leads me to my next question. What do you recommend for us? You know, how can we really lean into this in our actual lives and be the rainmaker?
Right. I think it starts, with one and then moves among us, in our conversations and so forth, as we've talked about. But, I think starting our day with this consciousness, not just being so out of Tao that we're just going about busying ourselves, but being conscious. What is it going to take to be in touch with whatever that Tao is in myself and in the world, and then activate and empower that? Again, I have another dream. My dreams are just my teachers. They're the scripture
I
that
love
I
it.
refer to. But I had this wonderful dream once where I had this major concern, and I went next to this little tree and did this little ritual. I don't know exactly what it was, but I created a little ritual to ask for some support or help in this concern that I had. And just after that, I was next to a lake, this like all of a sudden look back and this like piece of land like the size of an island was just floating, and it came from outside this terrain, outside of Earth, and it was just coming like into the area, into space, and then it went boom and landed in the lake. And I knew when I saw it that this was a major sort of like it was going to really help the whole Earth. This was something that had come from other domains and other realms that was coming to help us. But then it flipped over. And I knew if it stayed flipped over, wet, and it got all wet, it would ruin the potential. So the potential would be gone. And then a big hand came up out of the lake, huge hand, like the size of a tall building, and righted it. And that happened three times in the dream. Then it flipped over again. The hand came up again. And then it happened again. And then it was stabilized. And then in the dream, I was told it was because you did that small ritual that that hand was there to stabilize this energy.
Wow.
And I felt the dream was saying it's these tiny little rituals we do in our private lives, even about a private concern. But if we're activating the energies that will come, these rituals are not small. They are stabilizing something in the whole field that is going to support us. So I just think we just can't forget that we have this, we have the capacity to every day do our small things. And we may not see it like I did in the dream. The dream just wanted me to know it's there. And I think for all of us to understand how this happens, that it is actually stabilizing something that is really going to support our movement. You know, it's like there's going to be so much sorrow and suffering, I think. We can count on it. You know, these tornadoes and floods and all of that is just, you know, our hearts are just like broken for what's happening. To people, they've lost everything, and it doesn't certainly take away our presence to what's happening. And certainly, I think living, for me, being in Tao does not mean tuning out all that. You know, I am somebody, everybody has to find their own way with it, but I'm somebody who informs myself. I feel like it's my civic duty to pay attention and be aware and respond. But coming from a place of doubt, not a place of anger, not just like trying to hit something head on, and but coming from a place of, oh, and I wanted to tell this story. Also, Buckminster Fuller, who you know was a great mentor of mine and friend, he said, I don't know if it's on his tombstone, but he wanted it on his tombstone. I think he might have been saying it facetiously, but maybe not. It might be on his tombstone. He said, I am Trim Tab. That was what he wanted us to know about his sense of things. Now, Trim Tab is just this. It's the tiniest little thing that's on the rudder of a ship. And that tiny little thing, when it gets switched, moves the entire
Wow.
ship around. And he said, it's our small movements like that that can turn all of civilization, redirect all of civilization, that it's potential, it's possible. And he knew he was doing it in his own way every day by doing what he did with all his heart. And I think if we just know that, I am Trim Tab, I am like shifting the energy in the direction of things. You know, I think he had such a good term for that. Isn't that so great? I wonder, I need to look up and see if that's actually on his tombstone. I remember him saying, I want this on my tombstone.
Yes, I love that. I am Trim Tab.
Yeah, and he just thinks it's a consciousness that we need to have. For him, it's a completely new consciousness. You don't go at it in a big way and bomb things. You shift, you know, you do new patterns of energy that then shift the consciousness.
Yeah, that's helpful to know that the trim tab piece, that it's this little tiny thing, and it's these like subtle movements within us, very small, very subtle. And yet it makes all the difference. You know, that we don't have to be the one, like in my world, I don't have to be the one with a million followers on YouTube to make a difference, you know, right? It's like we each of us in our own way, it can be tiny, it can be subtle, and those are the ways that we actually change everything.
Exactly. You know, I often think of myself, here I am, 75, yeah, just turned 75, and I feel like I'm so out of touch with, you know, whatever that all of that new technology is. But I think of myself as like the old lady in the forest who's just reading the tea leaves and doing the things, and people come for a little healing or a little herbal treatment or whatever. But the old lady in the forest is the trim tap. You know, it's changing everything. So it's okay to just be the old lady in the forest kind of person. I comfort myself with that.
Yeah, the old lady in the forest is very powerful, is what I was bringing to the world.
That's why they got hung and burned, right? Because they knew they were powerful, right? Yeah. So we're
But
coming
not
out
this
of
time.
that. Yeah. Not this time. Not this time. Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you, Tarya, for all of this. Is there anything, any final comments that you wanted to say? Any closing thoughts about this topic?
Let's see. I have notes here. I could go on forever. You know, I'll just close with this. This is a beautiful quote I just ran into the other day by this chemist, scientist, Ilya Prigozhin. A lot of people have listened to him. I just think he's amazing. But so this is just a quote from him that sort of underlines all we're saying. He says, when a complex system is far from equilibrium, small islands of coherence in a sea of chaos have the capacity to shift the entire system to a higher order. So this is this scientist who sees it in his scientific through his scientific understanding that just a small island of coherence, which is us in this percentage that we're working on, like trim tab, that will shift the entire system to a higher order. And so I just think we need to know that this isn't just wishful thinking. This is actual, there's a science behind all this, spiritual science and as well as a physical science behind all this. And we can all be the rainmakers. Let's be the rainmakers in our lives and with each other and have these conversations. That empowers it. It activates it. It creates the stars, you know, that then has a gravitational field that goes out into the field and inspires others or supports others or gives comfort to others. And when we go to sleep, my spiritual teacher used to say, when you go to sleep at night, dedicate your night's sleep. You know, and so I dedicate, you know, my whatever I'm doing in the dream time, I know I'm busy, I dedicate it to create being the rainmaker, you know, and we can do that to comforting those who need comfort, to supporting those who need support, to bringing peace where there's controversy. You know, we can just go into those inner realms and commit ourselves to that, and it matters. It's not just wishful thinking. So.
Yes, to everything you said. I'm so moved by this. It's such a powerful message. Thank you for bringing it here to our community. And it's so important. And it's so interesting because as we I feel like as we go deeper and further on our spiritual journeys, the most important things, the most impactful things are often the simplest. It doesn't have to be complicated. The universe is not set up in this complicated way that we as humans have kind of made it into, right? It's really simple. And really, you know, once we get clear on what these shifts are, we can really do this. We can really put it into action in very clear and simple ways.
Exactly. Yeah. Those little simple things can change this very structure in our brain and redirect all of civilization. We just need to know that.
Yes.
Never feel disempowered or helpless or hopeless. So.
Yes. Well, yeah. Thank you again. So much gratitude for bringing all this forward. And I know you have a wonderful free gift for our community here. And this is a really fun video that actually Tarja and I recorded together. It is an interview of Tarja speaking about don't think. Would you want to say a few words about that don't think concept?
It's just, I did it for your Sacred Planet podcast series, and it's just one of my favorite, it's one of my favorite subjects. It was Don't Think was spoken to me from an angel in a dream and from a crop circle. You know, those thoughts or that voice came in and said that to me. And so my working with all of that, what is it, what is talking about? You know, and I think it's the thinking kind of keeps us out of Tao sometimes. And not thinking will help us to align ourselves with the real Tao of things. So it's a fun video. I always kind of revisit it myself because I put a lot of quotes in there that I like to revisit and so forth. So yeah, I hope you'll enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so fun. It's a really fun conversation and fun to experience it. So everybody definitely go and claim that free gift from Tarja. You can scroll down just below this video and you will see it there. So I hope you all will enjoy that very much. And also I want to invite everybody listening to share what you think about this conversation, about this topic of Be the Rainmaker in the comments below the video here. We would love to hear from you. What do you think about it? How has it moved you? How has it inspired you? Have any questions? Let us know. It's always fun to hear from you and see how it's moving in you.
Yeah, I enjoy those conversations very much. Yeah.
Yes.
So
All
I ask
right.
blessings on all your listeners in their sort of rainmaking. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Tarja. So
Thank
fun to
you,
talk with you
Jocelyn.
about this
Yes.
today.
Yeah.
Yeah, and lots of love to everybody out there listening. Thank you for tuning in, and I will see you again soon in our next interview. Much love, everybody, and bye for now.